Paranormal Perception 360 Degrees with Nicole Madrid.
The National Museum of Scotland just made public a large cache of national cryptid data. And there's much more besides blurry photos and early drawings of the Loch Ness Monster. The monster files include descriptions and drawings of several cryptids, including a 1936 witness drawing of what looks like a flabby, overweight dinosaur with floppy basset hound ears and a mouth like an anteater. There are also reports of encounters with the black dog of Loch Buoy, a ghost dog said to roam around Loch Buoy House on Mull, scaring guests with its horrible appearance. The papers and letters are predominantly from the 1930s to 1950s, when the modern Loch Ness Monster sightings began and monster mania spread across Scotland. The files were kept in dated folders marked Letters About Alleged Monsters. Back in 1969, David Bowie had an experience that led him to believe that his late father, Heywood Jones, was attempting to contact him from beyond the grave. In the days following the death of Jones, Bowie's telephone would mysteriously ring at the same time, every day, for a whole week. David Bowie said nobody ever answered when he said hello, and he was convinced that it was his dad, letting him know that everything was okay. No explanation for the mysterious phone calls were ever found. Bodmin Jail is nestled at the edge of Bodmin Moor in Cornwall, England, where it has since been turned into a hotel, museum, and gift shop. Over the years, its haunted reputation has attracted the attention of numerous ghost hunting shows, paranormal investigators, and others keen to experience something unexplained. One such visitor was Candace Collins, who 15 years ago was captured on camera next to a rather unexpected extra. The image, which was lost until very recently when she moved house and found it again, has since been generating a great deal of interest on social media. She says an old man with glasses is seen to the far right of the picture. Go to our Facebook page and take a look at the picture. What do you see?
Paranormal Perception 360 Degrees with Nicole Madrid.
Paranormal Perception is made possible in part with support from Unearthing the Supernatural, a team of Native American investigators you've seen them on Ghost Adventures and Unidentified with Demi Lovato. Now you can hear them here as my spiritual and paranormal consultants. You can follow their YouTube channel for their investigations, evidence reviews, their new podcast, Meeting the Warriors. Unearthing the Supernatural are few of many, one story of thousands. Let them hear yours. Show's also brought to you by OC Paracon. It's taking place on October 1st and 2nd in Anaheim. Get all the info on OC Paracon's Facebook page and keep listening to find out how you can win a VIP badge from Paranormal Perception.
Paranormal Perception is produced by 22 Creations Multimedia, LLC.
Close your eyes. Open your ears and your mind.
I'm watching you.
By the end of this episode, you'll have a new perception on the paranormal.
I'm gonna get you.
Giving you a new perception on the paranormal. Before we're no longer allowed to. This is Paranormal Perception with Henry San Miguel.
What is real? How do you define real?
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
This show is your red pill for all topics in the paranormal. Parapsychology, demons, disclosure,
restless souls,
conspiracy revelations,
prophecy,
cryptocurrencies,
strange creatures,
the metaverse.
This is the world that you know.
This is your guide through the new normal for the new decade. On this show, paranormal doesn't just mean things that go bump in the night. It means a new perception on the paranormal. A paranormal perception with Henry San Miguel.
Welcome to Paranormal Perception. So a couple of announcements before we get to the guest. First, thanks to everybody from last week. You sent in a lot of correct answers. There was only one incorrect answer. Well, incorrect, quote unquote, only because you said it on the Facebook post and everything else. And you didn't need to explain everything. Got to go to the judges, though. Yes, no, maybe, yeah, may. That's the behind the scenes team here. That's who the judges are. We may take that one, but everybody else, keep listening. Obviously, you figured out exactly what you. I mean, you'd be doing it anyway. You'd be listening to Paranormal Perception. You just have to pay a little bit more attention this time. And yes, it's okay. It's not cheating. It's okay if you go back and re-listen to the interviews. That's okay too. But that's what you do to get a VIP badge for OC Paracon. OC Paracon, again, taking place October 1st and 2nd. Perfect way to kick off the spooky season, our favorite month of the year, and meet you in person, finally. I mean, we did it last year, so technically this would be the second OC Paracon, but in reality, it's the first one. In person, no matter what. Nothing's going to stop us this time. So we'll, those of you that can go, we'll see you at OC Paracon. We'll meet you all there. You'll meet a lot of the guests that you've heard here on the show. A lot of the guests you see on television shows, they have their own podcasts, they have their own YouTube channels, they have books, they're definitely part of the paranormal. So I understand why there's a lot of excitement about being able to meet them, because a lot of them, honestly, because I did the same thing. Sometimes we got to go across the country just to meet them, or travel pretty far from home just to meet them. Those of you here in the Southern California and the Orange County area, now you get to meet them, and they're only, well, I was going to say 30 minutes, but LA traffic, an hour and a half away from you. It's better than traveling across the country. I mean, come on, let's face it. So that'll be happening, again, October 1st and 2nd. All the info, just what I think it's up. If not, it should be over the weekend. On the Paranormal Perception, on the website, we have a page specifically for OC Paracon. You see the link on top. It says OC Paracon. Just click on that, and it'll take you there. You can see who's going to be there. Click on their websites. Find out more about them if you don't happen to know that much about the guests. And there should be a link also on, not the tickets, not yet, but there are tickets on sale for Patty Negri's seance. Now, if you haven't been to a Patty Negri's seance, maybe you've seen it on Ghost Adventures. Maybe you've seen it on our YouTube channel. We've got, I think one of them is on there that we filmed. I've done a few with Patty. We filmed them. One is on our YouTube channel, like I said. But if you've never been to one of those in person, you're in for an experience. A very emotional experience. I know some of you hesitate when you hear the word seance because kind of like, same attitude people have towards Ouija boards. Well, I don't know. I mean, what if something dark comes in? And it's not just because Patty's a friend. I'm telling you, she's very positive. She also has other mediums with her who know what they're doing. They put up protections. There's a lot of, you can feel the positivity when you're at a Patty Negri. When you're around Patty, really, but just when you're at a Patty Negri seance, you can feel the positivity. So trust me, nothing dark is going to come through. There was only one, and she'll probably talk about it, but it was Marilyn Manson's house, and she'll talk about it. She always shares that story because it's a good example of why, not her, but why people there, why you don't want to laugh or make fun of the other side. But the tickets for the seance, it's a separate ticketed event, and I will say this, you don't have to attend OC Paracon. We'd like you to, we invite you to if you can, if you're able to. But let's say you're working or something, something's going on that day that you can't be with us during the day for OC Paracon. It's okay. You can just buy a ticket for the seance because the seance is going to happen Saturday, the first Saturday, October 1st, that evening, night in the main stage area. So we can fit a lot of you in there. And Patty, her words, the more the better is what she told me. So if you can only, you get off work late and you're going to miss the first day of OC Paracon, well, I mean, nothing you can do about it, right? But you can attend the seance. You can get a ticket and you can be there just for the seance. And you can be there on Sunday also if you don't work on Sunday. So those tickets are on sale. Now, I've gotten a lot of emails. Yeah, I know, like I said, I got a lot of emails for the VIP badge that we're going to give away here. Thanks for that again. But questions, the obvious questions, when are tickets going to go on sale? Well, next Friday. Next, I was going to do it in July, but just judging by the excitement from the Facebook page, and people, even people at the hotel where we're going to do it, even they're excited about OC Paracon. I mean, it's obvious. Everybody loves the paranormal. Everybody's interested in the paranormal. Everyone has some kind of experience. That's why I'm looking forward to meeting all of you. I mean, the guests, I know I've had them on the show, and a lot of them are friends. All of them, they're friends. So, but I'm really looking forward to you and hearing your stories. And so everyone's excited about, you know, the paranormal and paranormal conference. So when are the tickets going to go on sale? No, I wasn't trying to avoid it. The tickets will go on sale next Friday because, like I said, there's a lot of excitement. So I said, you know, instead of making you wait till July, because that's when they were going to go on sale, we're going to go early. We're going to go next Friday. So start planning. They'll go on sale Friday. By the time you hear next week's episode, the tickets will be on sale. So, and I will say this. It's general admission. The VIP tickets that I'm giving away, they'll be available. Well, not VIPs. Those will be available later. The difference, you're going to see one that's similar to the VIP ticket. The only thing it doesn't have is all the extra goodies. The T-shirt, the Patties and Seance is attached to a VIP ticket. Those will be available on a very limited basis. We don't want to sell out all the VIP tickets. So those will be available on a very limited basis and on a later date. So keep listening. And, I mean, you decide. Do you want to just go to OC Paracon and buy a separate ticket and everything else? Or do you want to buy a VIP ticket and have everything? It's up to you. Or do you want to win one for free? A free VIP badge and you didn't got to worry about it except show up. We can do that too. All of that, again, before anything else, everything, all the info, the tickets for Patty Seance, the ticket sales when they go on sale next week, those will be on the websites and our it will be everywhere. You'll know, trust me, all that next week. But if you want a free VIP badge.
We interrupt this program to bring you important news.
Instructions for being a VIP at OC Paracon.
Step 1. Follow the OC Paracon Facebook page. Step 2. Listen to Paranormal Perception every Friday. Take mental notes. Step 3. Go back to the OC Paracon Facebook page and read the week's question. Step 4. Send your answers to VIPTix@gmx.com. Step 5. Repeat these steps through May 13th.
We'll announce the winner on the May 20th episode. An OC Paracon VIP badge includes admission to both days, front row seating during speaker presentations, a seat at Patty Negri's seance, one tarot or psychic reading from Paranormal Pete, an OC Paracon t-shirt, and a surprise gift from Unearthing the Supernatural.
Winner is responsible for travel, hotel, and food. Open to contestants 18 and over.
Now back to Paranormal Perception. So pay attention, because you know what's on the line, a VIP badge to OC Paracon. Welcome back to Paranormal Perception. So I teased it last week. I told you we're going to talk to Ghost Adventures. No, not that Ghost Adventures. AZ Ghost Adventures. I do have a link on the show description. You can go there, find out all about them. But before you do that, keep listening, because on the talk about AZ Ghost Adventures is Rita Olson. She's a paranormal investigator, obviously, and also the owner and operator of AZ Ghost Adventures. Hi, Rita. How you doing? Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm doing wonderful. I hope you're doing the same.
I am. It's Friday. Thanks for coming on. So I got to start with the obvious. I mean, I was joking about it, obviously, last week when I teased it. But that, you know, when people hear the name AZ Ghost Adventures, that's the first thing they think of. I mean, is there a reason why you have the most popular show's name in your company name?
Absolutely. And I'll share that with you. So I worked with AZ Ghost Adventures for several years before buying it. And I actually bought it just a little over a year ago. And that was the name of the company when I purchased it. And it was just, I had thought about changing it, but there were so many things that are involved when changing the name of a company.
Yeah.
That it was just, at the time, it was just easier to keep it that way. And you know, and even since then, we've gone through things like having our logo and our name trademarked. But it's funny, because We do have our logo with the name on the side of our vehicle and our shirts and things like that that we have with our name on it. And we'll be out and about and people will think that we are part of Ghost Adventures. And we don't ever want to lie to anyone. So we do tell them, oh, we're not them. We're Arizona or AZ Ghost Adventures.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how it came about. And it was just one of those things that came along with getting the business.
Yeah, so. I'm laughing when you say that because I imagine you get a lot of people coming up and asking you, where's Zach? Where's Zach? Where's Aaron? Where's the guys?
We do.
Yeah, because we shoot TV shows and sometimes Patty Negri, who's on Ghost Adventure, she's on with us and same thing happens. Because they see her, a crowd comes over. Where is this Ghost Adventure? It's like, no, we're shooting something else. So yeah, I totally get that part.
Oh, I'll be sitting, if I pull over in a parking lot to take a phone call or something. I've had multiple times where people come up and they just start taking pictures of they like literally walk right up to my car and start taking pictures of it. And what do? You just smile. Or we'll be in a restaurant after an investigation. And one time we had where the staff, they were being so wonderful and they were all asking to take their pictures with us. And we're like, oh, okay. And then a few minutes later, we could hear someone in the background yelling, hey, it's those people from TV. So I looked at my crew and I was like, I'm not saying anything. It makes for funny stories to go with it. And I find it actually opens the door for conversations with people too, because I just had people, I was in the supermarket parking lot the other day and someone came up and just started talking about it because it was on the side of my vehicle. So it's, it's funny. And like I said, it opens the door for conversations with people. And but we're always truthful that we are not Zach's crew.
Yeah, but honestly, between you and me, I'm glad nobody's listening to us right now. It's also a good thing because you're not misrepresenting the show, but it does bring eyes and and people to you. So for those hearing about AZ Ghost Adventures for the first time, what does the company? What do you guys do exactly?
We go out and we conduct paranormal investigations at historically haunted locations. For us, it's very important to have the historical context correct. And because when we take people somewhere, we don't want to just drop people off in a room and be like, okay, well, this, have fun, do this. So we have people come in, we teach them, number one, how to use the equipment and the proper way of using it so they don't have false readings. And then we also teach them the historical background of the location. And we're fortunate enough to have some wonderful locations throughout Arizona that we go to. And then we do group investigations. And my motto is, if you are, I'm one of my investigators. In fact, we call our guest investigators. You are an investigator just like me. You ask questions, you use the equipment. This is, this is your time to really, really dive into paranormal investigating. And so we really try to encourage that with our guests. And fortunately, through doing it that way, we have a lot of guests that attend multiple investigations because they, like us, are following this timeline that we're finding out. Because if you go to a certain location and you start getting information, you use that information for next time you go to that location. And it just keeps building up. So in some of our locations, like the old Gila County Jail or at Acadia Ranch, or Bullion Plaza, we're like learning stories. It's almost like you're putting together this puzzle. So so that's what we've been trying to do, and it's worked really well. We are going out and looking at some new locations, and also we've been out scouting around at some hotels that have some historical background to them. Well, every hotel has a historical background to it one way or another. Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much the, you know, the gist of it. That's our thing. If you're with us, you're an investigator right along with us.
I love hearing the fact that you give them basically, you know, this is an investigator 101 before they go out there. Because a lot of them, a lot of tour groups, and I've seen some of them, unfortunately, it is like you said, they just dump them off at the locations. Okay, go at it. Have fun. Don't really tell them anything. Now, you didn't mention it, but I'm assuming I can tell by the way you're describing things, antagonizing is not part of what you guys do?
Absolutely not. That's not allowed. I call it poking the bear, mm-hmm. and we don't allow that. In fact, I was just having a discussion about that yesterday with someone. I had like a little luncheon at my house with Chris Quarantino, one of the Lutz children, mm-hmm. and we were talking about an event that he will be attending, and he brought that up to me, and I said, no, you know, I learned that a long time ago. I was at a location. I normally never, ever do that. And I did it for one, just something that would have never really come out of my mouth. Like, you must have felt like a big person doing this to these children. And the next day I had, something followed me home. And I'm thinking it was Kingsley Olds from the old Gila County Jail, because the next evening I was in my bedroom by myself reading on my Kindle, and the only thing was my nightlight on, and I saw a black figure walk across the foot of my bed, and I thought it was my husband coming into the room, and I put my Kindle down and I said, oh, you're coming to bed, and there was no one there. And it was big. I mean, this was a solid black mass. And that's, while I've experienced paranormal all my life, and I mean I've seen full-bodied apparitions, I've had things moving, it's happened to me. I've never really been afraid of it like I was that night. And so I immediately ran and got my husband, said, time to come to bed. And that night at about 3, middle of the night, I woke up to something kicking the side of my bed, and in a deep, deep male voice saying, hey. And I knew, it's like this, I poked the bear. I did something I shouldn't have done. Yeah. And so the next day I hooked up with one of the mediums that we were working with. And I said, this is not good. This, I don't want this in my home. I have spirits in my home. This is not one of the spirits I want in my home. So, you know, I went through sitting down and apologizing and, you know, admitting what I did wrong, but being very, controlling and saying, you need to leave my home. This is not where you should be. I understand what I did. I won't let it happen again. And it was almost like it definitely was a learning experience for me, because now when we are hosting our investigations, I relay that story because I don't want that happening to anybody else. And I think people don't realize how serious it can be and how terrifying it can be. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to have the resources to go to help me get that out of my home. And now whenever I go to a location, I am very quick to say, this is your home. I am just a visitor here. We are just visitors here. We will be polite. We will be respectful. Even if you were a bad person in your physical life, this is still your home. This is your place. I would appreciate you communicating with me. And we have found that by using that method, we get a much better response.
Yeah. And like I said, I'm glad you tell people that, because I've seen, unfortunately, a lot of people that don't listen, especially if they're just starting their journey into the paranormal, or maybe you've seen this. October, because everybody starts thinking, even if you're not into the paranormal, you start thinking about something, let's do something spooky, let's go on a ghost tour, and they don't know, they say, oh, push me or whatever, next thing you know, something's following you home. So it is, yeah, perfect term, poking the bear. Let me go back actually to you. You said you bought it about a year ago, yeah. What made you want to do, because had you ever done like a tour thing before, or was this your first time doing tours?
I had. So I'm going to go back even further on this. Mm-hmm. So like I said, I've had paranormal experience most of my life. I did have, when I was 7, a pretty awful accident that I should not have survived. I've seen spirits all my life. I've had things happen. And back then, it was not really discussed. People would think that you were crazy. And when I was younger, growing up with something like that, you just kind of, it's just part of your life. You don't know that you're having anything wrong happening.
Yeah.
And because you're used to it. And then as I got older, especially in my 20s.
You were seeing spirits before the accident that you mentioned?
No, I didn't have anything happen that I recall until after the accident.
Oh, okay.
And it was a near death accident, yeah. And it was a considerable fall, and even the doctors are like, we don't know, because I've shown doctors my medical records after that, and they're like, we don't know how you survived that. So you know, as you're going along in your youth, and things happen, and you're really not, you know, you're also distracted by things.
Yeah.
And because there's just a lot, you know, I call it noise, that outside noise. And I really didn't start thinking, hey, something is up. Something's incredibly different until about my 20s. And still back then, people didn't talk about it. They would think that you were crazy.
Yeah.
If you were saying, I'm seeing shadows, I'm seeing full-bodied apparitions, I'm having things move around, not only when I'm not there, but in front of me. Like, you know, when you see the, let's say the movies where a toy it needs to physically be turned on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then it turns on and starts moving around on its own. I would have things like that happen with my children's toys. I have two kids. My daughter never has experienced it, but my son also, now he has had paranormal experiences all his life. And but again, like I was saying, you just really didn't talk about it back then. And it got so pronounced that, and I think it was just spirits coming forward saying, hey, you have the ability to see us. We want you to recognize us.
Yeah.
We know that you can see us. We're going to start showing ourselves more to you, because we know that we have someone we can communicate with. And, then it started getting even more so, where people coming to my home were seeing things. And, I've had one guest in my house, and, you know, again, you didn't talk about it, come down after spending a night at my house and say, is your house haunted? Do you have ghosts? And I was like, why do you ask? And they had seen a spirit of a child in their bedroom. And they thought it was one of my children, but it wasn't, because the spirit of the child stepped backwards and then completely disappeared. But she's like, I saw it clear as day. She described what this child was wearing, their haircut, everything. And so it's just one of those, you kind of, you know, you still didn't talk about it too much, because we're talking the 80s. And then when paranormal started becoming a little bit more popular, like on television, and I remember one of the first shows was Taps with Ghost Hunters that I started watching. And I was like, oh my gosh, no, this is a real thing. And, you know, of course, watched every episode they had. And throughout moving around the United States and various homes, still having these activities happen. And so when I moved out here, and again, my house is, I'm out on the town of Forest. I'm in I'm far out, and Native American ground. And the spirits here are, even when I first moved in, I was like, I have the ones that have been with me all my life, but this is different. There's something different here. And so I started doing some more searching and found this group that I now own that did paranormal investigations. And of course, I walked up to the old owner and I was like, I've been having things happen all my life. And, she kind of looked at me like, well, everyone tells me that comes here. But over the course of the time, because I started doing this, going on more and more investigations, she realized I was having activity surrounding me. So when we would start the investigations, I would go through the locations by myself and sit down and speak with the spirits and, you know, explain what we were doing. And I've been fortunate enough that I usually have activity happen around me. And then when the company came available to buy, because she was moving, it didn't even take a second thought. And who buys a company during COVID, right?
Well, I laugh at it now. It wasn't then. I started a company. It was 2020. It was January. Like every new year, oh, this is the year I'm gonna start a new company. New this, new that. Like everybody, we were all happy. Let's start a new thing. We just moved. Then the world shuts down. So yeah, I get it.
Right. Yeah. Fortunately, I mean, we have the ability to do things online, which is really nice, because mm-hmm. then the people who can't attend are able. You know, we try to take the things that we do gather. And like I said, we have a lot of people who do attend who are regulars. They're like family. I mean, it really is our community. And they are, they're kind enough to post a lot of things. And we do have some people that attend on a regular basis, and they are like magnets. I mean, the spirits, and that makes me happy, because they're having those experiences, and the spirits, will show themselves to them. And when I use the word spirits, I mean entities, because sometimes we don't always get what was maybe human in the past life. So there, and again, is where everyone gets like a safety talk. I call it housekeeping. We're going to talk about a few things, and they get a safety talk about what is and is not acceptable on our investigations.
Well, the good thing is that, like you said, you have regulars, and it's like us in real life. We have our circle of friends, and the spirits, they feel comfortable around them also. So yeah, it is literally a community.
Yeah, it really is. And everyone brings something to the table. And I think they like that they're with a group where, hey, this is what I have. Because I've always said everyone experiences the paranormal differently. Mm-hmm. You and I can be standing next to each other in the same room and have two completely different experiences, where I may feel something touching me and you don't, or I may, feel like something goes through me and you don't, or you may see something, but I don't. So it's, I know there's so many people out there that are quick to discount anyone's claims of paranormal experiences, but I am a firm believer that everyone experiences it differently. So it's not my place to say that didn't happen to you. In giving a little background, what I try to bring to the table is my work background is in healthcare, and I've worked with a lot of dying patients. The geriatric population. And I've had, we'll talk about it. I've had some really unusual things happen in that setting of paranormal. But I, when I come to, or when I go to locations, and one of them was Phelps Dodge Hospital, or when I go to Acadia Ranch, which was a TB sanatorium, I think that my empathy coming from that background, having worked for many years with incredibly sick people that are terminal, and being able to assist them with that coping process of dying, I think that has helped me in my paranormal investigations, because I think the spirits recognize that I have that empathy in me, or that I've experienced that, or I have some who are teachers, and they seem to have more student, more children spirits revolving around them. So I think our backgrounds do help us in what we do. And in fact, I was just having the other day with another paranormal group, I was having the conversation, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Is it my background that encourages spirits, or is it because you know, if we look at like fate or serendipity or, you know, something like that, is it because I have this ability that I chose to go into that background? Does that make sense to you?
Kind of. You know what I'm also thinking, and I've had this conversation with others, it may also be because of your NDE experience. Because I know a lot of people who have had near-death experiences, they suddenly, it awakens their ability, or they become a magnet, if you will. So I don't know how you see it, but that could also have something to do with it.
And you're exactly right, because when we have our investigations and we take little breaks and everyone starts, you know, we get together and we kind of debrief for a little bit before we move on to our, you know, our next area. And I've had multiple times where it's like there's a group of us that congregate together, mm-hmm. and we are like, yeah, I've had this, I've had that, I've had this, I've had that. And you start talking and I'll openly ask, and they've either had near death experiences or incredibly traumatic experiences. And you're absolutely right. I do think that having something like that happen kind of, for lack of a better phrase, thins that veil.
Yeah.
And allows us to be a little bit more receptive. And I think once the spirits realize that you're receptive to it and you're recognizing it, because again, there's a lot going on in the world around us. There's a lot of noise going on around us. People can brush things off or refuse to acknowledge what's happening. But I think when the spirits realize that, hey, there's a person here that acknowledges it, we're going to use them as a conduit. So yes, you're absolutely right on that.
Yeah, it was explained to me a long time ago by paranormal investigator, that think of it like what you're describing. Think of it like this: you're somewhere in the dark, and you're the only person out there that has a lantern in that dark. And when the spirits, when they see that, they're drawn to it. And like us, I mean, if we're lost somewhere in the forest or somewhere where we can't see anything, it's just dark, and we see a light, we're naturally going to go to it. So same thing here. It's kind of, even you can think, going back, we've all experienced this, the first day of school or a new job or new something. We don't know anybody. We moved to a new city. We don't know anybody. And there's somebody who's, you know, got a smile. They're friendly. Hey, welcome. You're going to gravitate towards that person. So kind of the same thing with the spirits. You see people, I mean, they see people who are jumping like, ah, what was that? I don't know what that, let's get out of here. But then they see someone like, oh, hello, is someone here? They're going to gravitate mm-hmm. to that person because you are trying to make contact with them. So,
and it's funny that you say that, because yesterday at this lunch that I held at my house, we had a psychic medium. And like I said, I had paranormal all my life. I've had things happen in my home, but I don't do investigations in my home, mm-hmm. Just because I want to have that space where it's
I get home. It
mm-hmm. and not agitated. Now, I mean, I talk with the spirits here. I see things. People visiting my home have seen things, but I just, it's, you know, it's just one of those. This is kind of like that safe haven spot. But the medium who was here yesterday, she, I was like, you know, I don't want to tell you anything, but what are you getting? Just what are you getting? And just because my curiosity was piqued a little bit more ever since I had that attachment come back with me from the jail. And she said pretty much the exact same thing. She's like, you know, she went through different areas of the house, and where I'm at, it's out in old, it's out on the Tonneau Forest. I'm mm-hmm. right on the Tonneau Forest. Mm. And she explained several of the spirits, and what she was saying was pretty much in line with what I've had happen. And I was like, well, why, you know, because there's some in the upstairs or some in the downstairs. And I said, well, why, you know, what is it? And she goes, because you're a beacon. They like your personality. They like that you acknowledge them and that you're respectful of them. And I do have some Native American spirits on my property, because we're on a few acres. And I told her, well, that's good, because when I recognized before that I may have some Native American spirits, the first thing I did was I went out and I said, you know what? This is your home. I'm just a visitor here. I'm not going to be here forever. So I will be as respectful as possible because this is where you reside. And after I had done that, things kind of like calmed down a little bit because I would have things like door handles clicking or you could hear voices in other rooms where there was nothing going on. And we still have that happen, but not as often. So it's a little bit, it's settled. It has settled, which is a good thing. I mean, when you're here at night by yourself.
Yeah. But well, I was smiling when you said that, when you said there you have some Native American land there. A few weeks ago, we were with John Zappas over at Vulture City, and during his talk, he said, you know, people telling me all the time, I think that we might be on Native American land. We're all on Native American
land. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm actually out. So you mentioned Vulture City. Do you know where Cave Creek is?
I haven't been there, but yeah, I've heard of it.
Okay, so I'm near Cave Creek, and then there's the Sears K ruins out there, and there's a couple of other locations out by where I'm at. Yeah, and you can definitely, and lots of quartz veins going through the property, which I think also helps. But yeah, it's there were definitely some settlements right in this area. I mean, just even in doing background on, and I know where I'm at, it was kind of farming land for a while. And now it's just like a lot of horse ranches. Like I'm not at a horse ranch, but, there's a lot of horse ranches in the area. But yeah, definitely there, you could definitely tell that they were like settled right in this area. So, but yeah, you're absolutely right. It all is.
Yeah.
So I guess we should all like have that little talk with our spirits and say, this is your home.
Yeah. Well, I was actually thinking a few seconds ago, you was it your son you said is also starting to see things now?
Oh, he always has, even as a child.
Yeah.
I mean, it used to weird me out a little bit when he was really young and would sit in his closet. And this was in a house where we had a phenomenal amount of activity. I mean, including poltergeist activity. And he would sit there and talk to this child and, you know, you're thinking, okay, well, it's an imaginary friend, but he's not like an imaginary friend kind of kid. But in that house, we could see many, many times, like at night, you would have the night lights on and you could see like the shadow of a child walking across the room. So much so. And you could see it. I could see it from my bedroom door that I would get up in the middle of the night thinking it was one of my kids, and it wasn't. They were sound asleep. And visitors in my house too would ask if they would come by in the middle of the day, are the kids home? And I'd say, no, they're at school. And they're like, no, I just saw one of them peeking around the corner. So I think that in that house, we had a child spirit. Although the medium yesterday told me that I have like a spirit that travels with me that is like a childlike, almost like a fairy-like nature. So that's something I'll have to delve into a little bit more in what's going on with that. But I'm kind of really happy where they're at right now. So I don't, it's one of those, okay, we're coexisting so well. I don't want to do anything to ruffle any feathers.
Right. Yeah, when we're done here, I could share some my SF adventures, I guess we'll call them, when I used to live in San Francisco. I call it the Haunted Mansion. I could share some of the stories when we're done here. But reason why I'm asking about your son, has anyone in your family told you that they were psychically gifted?
Well, you know, funny story, and it's something that I am doing more research on. My great-grandmother was a part of, it's hard saying this, my great-great-grandmother immigrated here from Poland, and she was part of they called it the Bluebeard Clique out of Chicago, out of Little Poland in Chicago, and there was a group of three ladies, one of them, and one, she was like the least that committed the offenses, but I don't know if you've ever heard of Tilly, out of Chicago. She was a mass murderer. Mm-hmm. And she claimed that she had psychic abilities. Now, my great-great-grandmother was not this Tilly. It was the cousin of this Tilly. But apparently she got wrapped up in things also. Has anyone, so that's just something that I'm delving more into, because it's interesting when you are researching your, you know, with the advent of all these family tree things going on. I have had a sibling tell me that I had a sibling have a death experience. And he did tell me that, unfortunately, he's still alive, but he did tell me that during that experience, I mean, the whole, the white light mm-hmm. and going through it and a dead relative being, you know, a deceased relative being on the other side saying, it's not your time. It's not your time. You need to go back.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they were, and again, this was a accident that he should not have survived. And, you know, and being able to come back from that. So, and I think that was a life altering event for him. But yeah, no, I don't, other than that, I don't, you know, and we all have our skeletons in our closet when I was talking about my great, great grandmother,
yeah.
But we, yeah, I don't know. I don't, have you?
I have no idea. Be kind of like you. I mean, I was adopted. I don't know who my actual parents were. So, I mean, I'm not psychically gifted. I'm very sensitive to the other side. I don't see them, but actually that's what started my my experience. I actually saw full bodied apparitions when I was 4 years old. I didn't know what it was at the time. I know now, all these years later. But now, and well, the reason why I was asking you though, I've noticed, and a lot of psychics say yes, it does, kind of like you inherit, you know, blonde hair or whatever it is. You do inherit that gift, that psychic gift. So, and sometimes it skips generations. So that's why I was asking, do you know if anybody in your background had a psychic abilities?
Well, and you know, and it's funny that you asked that, because I'm really not, and that's why we've been doing some digging in our family tree, because we're really not that familiar mm-hmm. with what has gone on with past generations with relatives. So as I'm, you know, as I'm researching that, who knows what I may find out. But I like what you, how you say you don't consider yourself a psychic. I don't consider myself a psychic. I don't consider myself a medium. I do consider myself incredibly sensitive mm-hmm. because when I'll be at an investigation, it's almost, and tell me if you've had this happen to you, I'll be there and it's almost like a story comes to me.
Yeah.
Like I'll be asking questions and then all of a sudden this story or, you know, this line of events comes into my head and I'll start asking, I can go down a completely different venue with it, but I'll just, these questions come into my head. So I'll start asking them and that will usually lead to increased activity.
Do you hear them or do you see it like a movie?
It's a thought. Mm. It's a thought that comes into my head. And in fact, we were at the jail about a month and a half ago at the Globe Jail. And I had invited a medium to attend and I hadn't given her any of the background or anything. And we were on the second floor men's tank, which tend to house the prisoners that were a little bit worse.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there and I've had a ton of activity over the years at the jail. I think they are used to me. And the more they're used to me, the more they come forward. But we were sitting there and we started asking these questions about a report. There was a report that one of the prisoners had committed suicide by slitting his own throat with a milk bottle, a broken milk bottle. And all of a sudden I was like, that's not right. That's not what happened. And she goes, no, that's not. And almost in unison, we started saying and I hope someone has it on video because I didn't have my camera going, but almost in unison, we started saying the exact same story. We were talking together at the yeah. same time, saying the exact same story of what happened. And this guy's past and his mother. And I mean, it was it was exhausting, number one. But I think that's the strongest something like that's ever come through. And it, you know, it could have been because there was a medium sitting, you know, a few feet from me, and I might have been getting a lot of overflow of what she was getting. But yeah, it's just these thoughts that come into my head. And, you know, and I tell people that when we do the investigations, I'm like, I'm going to start talking, and it may have nothing to do with nothing, but usually I think it has something to do with something, because it does lead to increased activity, be it, you know, electronic activity, or one of my favorite things is the dowsing rods to use. Mm-hmm. Dowsing rod activity, and not just with me using it, with other people using it. So yeah, it's, you know, it's just one of those. In fact, I remember when I was, when my kids were growing up, because I would, you know, and I have had premonition dreams. I would call them out on something, and they'd be like, how do you know that? How do you know we did that? And I was like, I had a dream. And I normally don't remember my dreams. So if I remember it.
Well, I mean, first you could have said, well, I'm a mom. That's the first thing. Moms just know.
I know everything. So yeah, it's just really interesting. And here's the thing. I think a lot of people we've evolved so much that so many people have learned to turn it off.
Yeah.
Or I haven't learned, but it's just turned off.
Yeah. Well, I think it's like you said, you're using the correct term, noise, all this noise that we get from movies and, you know, pop culture, work, life in general. Because I've talked to a lot of psychics. I don't know how you see it. When I should explain, when I say I don't think I'm psychic or medium or anything, when I talk to someone like you who knows about the paranormal, who has experience, I have to explain it, meaning I don't mean like I'm to, for example, Patty Negri's level, where, you know, she's amazing when she does the things she do. I'm not to that level. Like you, am I sensitive? Yes. Do I get the weird feelings, have a bad feeling? Yeah, I get that. I get it from good spirits, bad spirits, when something's going to, the dreams, I don't call them premonition dreams. I make a distinction between the two. One is, I call them just a dream, where like a dream. You don't know when it starts, where it ends, you're just there. But then there are others that are so vivid that they're still with you 2-3 days later. I don't call those a dream. That's a message that your spirit guys are sending you, a message. So yeah, I get those too, but you know, I consider those messages, and if, especially if it's something, you know, telling me is going to be an accident or something bad is going to happen to me or somebody mm-hmm. else, I'm extra cautious that whole week.
Yeah, I would have to say the most prominent one I had with that was years ago. Remember when that plane went down and the pilot was able to land it? I want to say it was in the Hudson River.
Oh, Captain Sully. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And I had a flight. I was meeting some friends in Texas, and I had this dream, and I remember it to this day. And I was sitting in the chair, and the pilot's voice came on, and he said, okay, I want everyone to lean forward. This is going to hurt. Mm. And then there was that bump, that feeling of that bump. And then the next thing I knew, I was standing out watching the plane, and I could see people standing on water around the plane. And I thought, well, that's weird. People are standing on water, but the plane's in water, but people are standing on water. And I almost canceled my flight because I told my husband, I said, I can't get on this plane. I've never done that before. I was like, I can't get on this plane. And I think it would have like cost me hundreds of dollars to cancel the ticket. And he's like, no, you're just worried. You haven't flown, because I used to fly a lot for work. He's like, you just haven't flown in a while. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I was like, okay. So, so I get to Texas, and I get together with it was a girls' weekend, and we had rented this cabin, but it had a TV in it. So we were unloading the car, and the news was on, and I was telling them about this dream I had. I said, you guys, I almost didn't come because I had this dream, and I described this dream to them, and not 30 seconds later, the story comes on the news about this plane, how it was landed in the river, how he did such a wonderful job landing it. But what did they show? People standing on the wings of the plane in the water, so it looked like they were standing on the water.
Yeah.
And I turned around, I saw it, and I said, oh my God, that was my dream. In fact, as I'm telling you that, I'm getting goosebumps. And they were a little freaked out too, because I had already told them the story. And I was like, look at, they're standing on the water. And so it was just, why would I dream about something that happens on the East Coast? I mean, it was just one of those things. And that is one of those dreams that stands out to me. Well, always will. And I remember that when he said, you know, I should try to contact this pilot and say, out of your mouth, did the words, this is going to hurt, come? Because I so distinctly remember that. And, stuff happens, huh?
Wasn't there a movie about that?
I think so.
Yeah, no, you're making me think. You should watch the movie. If there's a line in there where he says this is going to hurt, then there you go.
And that was the one distinct line. He's like, everyone lean forward. This is going to hurt. And then bam, the plane hit. And so it's, you know, and it's just those, like you're saying, those dreams that stick with you, not 2 or 3 days later, but the rest of your life so vividly. But I would have to say some of the other things that have stood out to me. I know I mentioned that I work in healthcare, and for many years I worked in skilled nursing, which is with the geriatric population and a lot of incredibly ill people. And there's two stories that stand out so very strongly to me. One of them is I was in a gentleman's room and I was talking with him. I just came in to visit. And I work in occupational therapy, and he didn't seem end-staged to me at all. I mean, he was there getting reconditioned, and I was talking to him, and he kept talking about the people standing around me. And I'm looking around, I was like, no, there's no one here. It's just me. And I thought, well, maybe there was a housekeeper in here earlier or something like that, but he kept talking about all the people standing around me. And I thought, okay, well, I'll go let his nurse know. And I left, you know, I had my little visit with him and I left, and he was a very religious man also. And about 20 minutes later, they notified me that he passed, but he didn't present as someone who was in that stage. So my biggest regret is that I didn't ask what they were saying.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm thankful that I went and had that visit with him, but I am a firm believer that it was, and he wasn't scared by these people. It was just, he was talking about, he's like, they're all standing around you. So I think, you know, it's just one of those things that drives home that, there are spirits and that they, you know, maybe they came to guide him. Because they knew he was passing, because he certainly didn't present to me like he was passing, or I would have let the nurse know. There was none of that, nothing whatsoever. And I think it was just, he was ready. It was his time. And then another thing that had happened was I had had a patient that I had treated for many years, on and off, got to know her family. She was just a wonderful little lady. She was from Poland. And I'm half Polish, and I would bring her like little Polish pastries and things like that. And I went to visit her one morning, and she had a cardiologist appointment. And I said, I want you to know that I'm going to stay late and wait for you. So don't worry, don't fret. I'll stay and wait till you get back, so you know I can come work with you. And it was about noon, and I was rushing down the hall to another patient's room, and you kind of, people who work in healthcare have a tendency, we look left to right in doors to make sure no one's on the floor or no one's in distress or anything like that. But we walk at a fast clip, and I'm walking down the halls, and I see her in her room walking into the bathroom. Okay, well, she's back from her doctor's appointment. And I get to the person that I had another appointment with, and I get a phone call about 2 minutes later from my supervisor telling me that she had died. And I was like, what do you mean she died? I just saw her in her room. Did she fall? Did she hit her head on the sink or something? They're like, no, she was never in her room. She came back from her appointment. They wheeled her into the dining room and they thought she fell asleep and she died, which would have been right around the same time that I saw her walking in her room. And I was like, I know I saw her. I know. I mean, in my mind's eye, I can see exactly what I saw. I even remember what she was wearing. And so I'm just so thankful that she showed herself to me when that happened. And, in fact, I have a little, a porcelain piece that she had given to me because she knew I loved antiques. And, so 1 year at Christmas time, she had given me this little antique porcelain piece, and I take it on a lot of my investigations. And I was at an investigation in Bullion Plaza in Miami, Arizona, and they have a cultural center, and they have a Slavic room. And I had invited, amateur photographer to come that night, and because he had never been on a paranormal investigation. And I brought this piece out and I started talking, and I was doing some greetings in Polish and what little I knew. And I had brought this piece out and I was talking about her, telling the story, and all of a sudden my equipment went crazy. So this guy snapped a picture, and there is right above my head, it was an IR that he took it, a huge cloud, and it's got dimension to it. And I feel that was just her showing herself, because I think spirits can come and go as they want to. And I think that she liked that I was reminiscing and telling the story about her and giving her some recognition. I mean, at least that's what I feel it was. And I've shown this picture to one of the networks, and they're like, oh my gosh, this is the real deal.
Yeah.
And so it's just things like that. And that kind of goes back to where I was talking about, I think, my background in healthcare and that whole empathetic side and understanding side helps bringing the spirits come forward.
Yeah. I'm sure they sensed that also. So as we start to wrap up here, as far as AZ Ghost Adventures is concerned, what do you have, any tours coming up, events, anything like that?
We do. You can check out our website at www.azghostadventures.com. And we go throughout. Some of our regular locations are the old Gila County Jail, the Globe Train Depot, and attached Little Baby Depot Museum, the Bullion Plaza Cultural Center, which is a 32,000 square foot old segregated school. The Miami, old Miami YMCA, Stanton, which is an old mining city. We have some other locations. It's kind of hard to keep them all at the tip of my tongue, but we also do some community service events. I feel that's really important to give back to the community, especially the communities that so graciously welcome us in. So we do community service events at like the Cave Creek Museum, which has one of the last standing tubercular cabins in Arizona and one of the first chapels out in that area. A lot of people don't realize that Cave Creek was a tubercular haven, that Phoenix would send a lot of TB patients out to the Cave Creek area. And then we've got some new locations that we're looking at actually this weekend, which is exciting. So we're always adding to where we go to. And one of the newest locations, I think I mentioned Acadia Ranch, which is a tubercular cabin, an old tubercular building, I should say, is the American Flag Ranch, which we were just there last week and are pretty sure we had the spirit of Buffalo Bill Cody come through. And hopefully we'll be able to add the hijinks mining area to that. So yeah, so I mean, just historically, Arizona is just amazing with the mining, the tubercular, just the whole Native American background. There's just so much history in Arizona that I could probably just investigate for the rest of my life in this state and not have to worry about going anywhere else.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I hear about Arizona also. So go ahead, give them the website, social media, everywhere they can follow you guys.
Okay, so the website is www.azghostadventures.com. And we do have two Facebook pages. We have AZ Ghost Adventures Evidence and Discussion. And that's our site where you can post questions, post your evidence, it's an open site for people to post on. At things relating to the paranormal and supernatural. And then we also have our main Facebook page, which is AZ Ghost Adventures. We keep that one a little bit separate, so that way we know that we can get all of our events posted on it without them getting lost in everything else. And then actually today we are working on rolling out our TikTok page, which is exciting. So we'll have that coming, and I'm sure once that's up and rolling, hopefully we'll have that up and rolling by the end of the day. We'll post on our websites about that and on our Facebook page.
Okay. So link to everything on the show description, just click on the name AZ Ghost Adventures. It'll take you to everything that Rita just mentioned. So Rita, thanks a lot again for coming on. We could have a 5-hour conversation and still not cover everything that we want to. So I'm sure I'm going to have you back. In fact, I was thinking as you were telling some of the stories, I want to have you back for the Halloween episode, because on that one, it's last year we did listeners sending in their stories and there was a ton of them. Now I want to get some more from you guys, from the guests, from the professionals, we'll say. So you'll definitely invite it back to that one. Thanks a lot again for coming on. Everybody else, we've talked ghosts for 3-4 weeks in a row now. That's rare here on Paranormal Perception. I know, paranormal, ghost. Yeah, we talk about them. But next week, we're going to change it up a little bit. We've talked about aliens before, about UFOs. We've never covered abductions, alien abductions. We'll cover that next week. And I got to say before we go, I've gotten the emails. The boys will be back on Earth in the Supernatural. They'll be back with me next week. As you remember, a few weeks ago, they lost Pataya, one of their members, and culturally, in honor of him, they're not doing anything spiritual, any spiritual teachings, nothing. That's the reason why you haven't heard them on the show for the past few weeks. Like I said, a lot of you sent me some emails wondering, hey, is the Earth in the Supernatural, are they not part of the show anymore? No, they are. It's just, again, for Pataya. They are not doing anything yet, and that's also why you haven't seen anything new on their YouTube or anything. But that's coming up soon. In fact, like I said, next week they're gonna join me. We talked about it last time they were on, about how the indigenous people see UFOs and spaceships and the sky people. Now they're gonna come on and talk about abductions. How do the natives see that? What is that all about? And we're also gonna talk to a director who has a movie called Alien Abductions, and it ties in, actually, I'll tease this, it ties into something that we mentioned Vulture City a minute ago with Rita. When we were there, the boys captured the cry of the Thunderbird. There's a message in this alien abduction film that kind of ties into the Thunderbird and why it's here. It's not a good thing, but we'll get into that next week. So everyone have a great weekend, stay safe, and come on back next week. We'll give you a new perception.
And that on the paranormal was Paranormal Perception.
The views and opinions heard on Paranormal Perception are those of the guests and host of the show. Factual statements are accompanied by backing data, articles, or other corroborating materials, either stated on the show or included in the show description. Any views or opinions expressed on the show are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, or individual.
New episodes every Friday. Visit paranormalperception.show to listen. At Paraperception1 on Twitter. At Paranormalperception2 on Instagram. Paranormal Perception with Henry San Miguel. Paranormal Perception was produced by 22 Creations Multimedia, LLC.